Praise his name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Lord Jesus, Lord, how we love you. Thank you, oh God, for this wonderful day you give us, Lord, and the word you brought to us this morning. Lord, how it truly strengthens our soul. Father, for the revelation you grant to us that, Lord, it may live in our hearts. Father, we pray as we gather here tonight, Lord, once again under thy presence. Lord, speak to us again. Feed us, oh Lord. For Lord, in this late hour, we need thee more than anything. Grant to us, Lord, the revelation again, Father. We may continue to grow and prosper in you. Lord, bless us now. A few songs you've laid on our hearts, Lord, that would, Lord, clear our hearts and minds and prepare us. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me in our Only Believe books. Amen. Page 237. Let's start there. Just a little talk with Jesus. Amen. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you hear a little prayer will turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus. Amen. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer. And then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry sky. But just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Amen. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus, let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He's so wonderful.
Yes.
Praise his name. Page 136. Amen. The old time power. Hallelujah. They were in an upper chamber.
Power just
power from heaven descended with the sound of rushing wind. Tons of fire came down upon them as the Lord said he would send. And it's, oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. Yes, this old-time power was given to our fathers who were true. This is promised. And it's, oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone.
Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Amen. Page in our capstone books. Page 27, keep on the firing line. Amen.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. Oh, if you and my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. Oh, there are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service will not find a place. So keep on that firing line.
Amen.
Oh, you must fight. Be brave.
Amen. Listen.
Oh, never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on that firing line. Oh, God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. Oh, if you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on that firing line. Oh, life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on that firing line.
Amen.
Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on that firing line. Oh, when we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on that firing line. Oh, how we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on that firing line. Oh, when we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin. With a shout of welcome, we will all march in.
So keep on, amen.
Praise him. Oh, we must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. And if you would win for God and the right, just keep keep on that fiery line.
Amen. Run like you've never run before, saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Hamilton, come up for the offering. Where would I be without Jesus?
Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where?
Just bow our heads. Brother Josh, would you like to take the request?
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a privilege, Lord, and an honor, Lord, to gather in your house once more. Yes. Lord, with a desire burning in our hearts, Lord. Lord, a zeal to know your will, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, a desire to press on. Lord, we just appreciate you so much, Lord. Lord, so thankful to be able to raise our hands of praise and surrender.
Yes.
Lord, to clap our hands, Lord.
Oh, yes,
Lord. Lord, with the zeal to move on and keep on and defeat the enemy, Lord. And
yes.
Lord, just stay where you want us to be.
Hallelujah.
Lord, our desire, Lord, is to do thy will, Father. Lord, as we gather tonight with needs upon each heart, I'm sure, Lord, we ask you to look down in each heart tonight. Meet the need according to your perfect will.
Yes.
Lord, if we have a need, Lord, we need a mountain to move, Lord, so we may do your will, Lord. I'm sure you'll move it for us.
Yes.
Lord, we ask, Lord, that everything be said and done for your glory this night. Lord, as we come to the hearing of thy word, Lord, we ask for revelation to keep down in our hearts, Lord, so we may continue, Lord, to climb a rung higher each and every day.
Oh.
Just have your way now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask and pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be saved. Amen. Will somebody have a special praise? Amen. Got anything, Karen, tonight? All right, let's all stand then, I guess. So, then, of course, only believes. Ask our brother to come.
Yes.
Only believe.
Precious, so thankful for another opportunity to be gathered. As we just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord, we truly count it a great honor and a privilege, Lord, to be here this evening. And Lord, to come and just to gather around your precious word and to open up these pages, Lord, and we'll renew our minds to things that you have spoken to us. And Lord, just asking that you'll move me out of the way, Lord, and give us a chance to just bring these couple quotes and scriptures, Lord, that it would cause a stir in our hearts, Lord, greater. Father, when we see the hour in which we're living and what's required, Lord, and what you're looking for, the Lord, we would truly be people that are mindful of the purpose for which we've been sent. And Lord, keep our eyes focused upon the goal. But Father, we just ask your blessings upon your word now. Speak to our hearts, we ask, and we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He is so wonderful.
Yes,
while you're still standing, if you would, we'll read a scripture out of 1 Peter in the second chapter. Then you can be seated. Amen. Just a little exhortation this evening to stir your hearts and pray you keep pressing on. I pray that you don't take lightly the things that was spoken this morning, but may it burn in our hearts greater with each passing day. But here in 1 Peter, the second chapter, and let's just read that ninth verse. But ye are a chosen generation, and a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. May the Lord bless Remy's word, and you may be seated. What a wonderful time we're living.
Yes.
As we see where we're standing, and you know, it's so striking. As before I left there on that Thursday evening, we had spoke on God's character and realizing we're to be molded to his character.
Yes,
and as our pastor was speaking this morning, I believe you can see the pattern that the life of Christ being expressed and realizing that our lives have to truly be a Christ-like life.
Yes.
That is the light that shines forth from us, not our own light, not our own being, but what God is doing for us and what he will do through us by his mercy and grace as a yielded vessel to him, as we had read the scripture, to give our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God.
Yes.
And to let him truly have the full preeminence in our life. And you know, we see it more and more as each day goes by, and as having been around a little bit and getting a chance to travel and to be with some other brothers, and to see people, and to see where we're standing. And it's so sad to see a people that has such a wonderful word from the Lord. And you know, many times that's how it's represented. As a minister comes up, what's the word of the Lord for going to be for us today? And God's word's laying here, and God sent a prophet in this age to truly point out the light and to point us in the direction we're going. But people's eyes have dimmed to the message that was truly brought. And they've truly just let life cloud it over. And people they've known through their life and ministers and ways of living and parents, they've let people steal from them the reality of God's word.
Yes.
And they've let it become dull. You know, the minister where I was last Sunday was speaking, and he'd done a really good job, but he used an example that I thought was really striking. And he was talking about headlights on a car. And how today the material they're made out of when you first buy that car, how bright those headlights shine. And it's kind of like coming to this message. When you first see it, it's just so bright. And what God said means so much to you. But as time goes on, those old plastic headlights start to get a film. And my old car's got about 13 years on it. And truly, them headlights don't reach out as far as they used to. And they've become dim. And that's the way people's vision has come with God's precious word. They've let life and everything that goes on around us dim that view of what's laying in front of us and the purpose for which we've been sent. And you never saw that in Jesus Christ. He never lost his goal, his focus. His whole life, he was sent for a work, and he focused to it. And everything in every scripture that you read, his life was so focused to why he was here. And sometimes I feel like that's where people... We're here, we are Americans, we live in this country, but we are not of this world. And by God's grace, we've been called out, and we're a chosen people. We've been blessed by God's grace to hear this precious word and to realize that by God's grace, of all the people in the land, we are a people that truly know that God has spoken through a prophet and truly handed down the instructions that that little bride needs to be exactly what God wants her to be.
Yes,
but you know what causes the lack of that sometimes is we're not willing to give up of our own selves and to sacrifice our wants and desires to God's precious word that he would get the full preeminence in our lives.
Yes,
We still have so much that we want to accomplish. We want to do things we want in life. And sometimes we don't want to be different. A lot of times that's a lot of it. We don't want to be stood out. We don't want to not be like the world. We want everything they have. Yes. You know, and it's so striking to me. And I'm just going to make a comment that was said. You know, a brother in this message and has an opportunity to, won't have a television in his house. That's wonderful. But he said, I'm opening up an Airbnb, but I'll put one in there and I can just run up there and watch it. Your desire is wrong. He's missed the picture. Yes. And that's how it's come into our walk with God. So many times we're willing to make an excuse for what I want to do and how I'm going to go about doing it so that I can have what I want out of life and not what God's Word has called us to. And, you know, it's laying before us. And people look around and they see your life and they see things that you do and they see the blessings of God in your life, maybe not in wealth and fame, but just seeing that maybe your home's in order. Maybe they look at you and can see that there's a love of true love of relationship between you and your wife and you and your children. They see these things and they, how did you get that? How do you get there? Well, it's all laying right here in the precious word of Jesus Christ. Yes, if you would turn with me to Proverbs and just put these things in your heart and don't please remember, let it just go in tune with the things our pastor was speaking this morning. But in Proverbs 3, and just think as Solomon was speaking here, writing these things down. Proverbs 3 and 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about thy neck and write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Have you ever stopped to think about that, just that verse alone? In all thy ways, make sure everything you do. As Paul put it, do all as unto the Lord. And think about it in your heart. Acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. He will lead you. He will guide you. And he will show you where to stand and how to stand. And only through his mercy and grace will that be. Don't forget the words our pastor said this morning. It's a life you don't live yourself. It takes an absolute new birth. And God taking possession of this being and bringing it under subjection to God's word. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor, and her ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. How we should truly, as we think about this, and as I've often said, this book is laying before us, as the Holy Bible lays before each one of us. Each one of us hold it in our hands. A true book of instruction. A true book of what God wanted that little bride to know. To represent his character from the beginning, Genesis to Revelations, is expressing Jesus Christ. Showing forth his life and what he was. And leading in every situation you ever face in life is laying in the pages of this precious word. There's not a circumstance you're ever going to face that if you go to God in prayer and cry out to Him that He won't give you an answer that you won't find either laying on the pages of this Bible or laying in the message that that prophet has brought in this last age. Truly to guide us and to lead us, to show us where to stand and to show us how to conduct our lives in such a way that it would be pleasing to Jesus Christ. But you know, it's like everything in life. You know, the scriptures, as me and my wife were speaking as we were coming to service, you know, the scriptures even say, He that loveth the world and the things of the world, the Spirit of God's not even in him. The love of God's not in him. And how it's become such a thing that there's so many pleasures in life that people have taken to. And they want in their life, and they want it so great, and they want to be part of this, and they want to be part of that, and they want to feed on the things of the world, and they never take the time to feed on God's Word, and then they wonder why things are such a shambles. They wonder why things are falling apart. They wonder why their children are a wreck. They wonder why my life's a wreck. They wonder why circumstances don't work out, but we never stop to consider that let everything I do, let me first acknowledge Jesus Christ and His Word. Yes, let me first consider what He said about every situation, and we'll see it come to place and right in time. Yes, you know, you can take it into all aspects of life. Right. You know, it's as simple as, you know, we'll just use a simple thing just that I was thinking on as I was looking through the characters and thinking about how Brother Branham referenced many times that when a man would go seeking for a wife, he was looking for a woman that would reflect his character, who he was, what he is. And you know, and he typed that with over with the bride of Jesus Christ today and how we would be reflecting of his character. He's not looking for someone that's totally offline and out of bounds. Yeah. And how we should see that. But then that same prophet comes along and he gave many instructions on even like when a young man or a young woman starts looking for a husband or a wife, what their first priorities should be. And then, and if we get through that phase and then we get into raising children, it's all laying right here. That this book of instructions laying before us. But we don't consult it. And a lot of times it doesn't get consulted until we're way down in the weeds and we've got a whole life full of problems and troubles. And they're like, what happened? But we're laying here. But what causes that? We let people cloud over our minds. We let people instruct us sometimes, pat us on the back and say, you're doing fine, you're doing good. But God's Word is coming, trying to show us our need sometimes. But we've let things people have told us cloud us over that we won't truly look into God's Word and apply it to ourselves. Right. We think we're self-sufficient. We're leaning on our own understanding of what I believe I understand. And God is maybe trying to stress to us and show us these things that are laying there for us. That if you overstep my word, a life of trouble you can expect. Yes. It's going to happen. You step over top of God's word and go do something you knew in your heart you felt you shouldn't do, you're going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. You will reap what you sow. God is not mocked. That's right. Somewhere it will come to roost and you'll wish that you'd have never done that thing. That's right. But oh, how we should prayerfully consider God's word. And as we're a people, as we grow in Christ and seeing that we're striving for a goal, that should be the first and most priority in our life. As Brother Branham put it in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, I don't have it with me. But where he said he should be the principal theme, yes, of our walking, of our talking, yes, of our every action, our life should be so centered for what we've been sent. And that's sometimes why we get in the shape we're in. We truly forget, except on Sundays, why we're here. And we forget what's church. Now I got to go to church. I believe this message. But every day, this message is to be living through you. Yes. A reaction showing that I just didn't, that what I heard by God's grace, He's revealed to me, and it's taken this body under subjection to His, yes, Word. But how often we truly forget where we're standing and what our purpose is, and we get our focus too much on things of this world. It's, you know, the world is so caught up in everything that's going on, and with sports and all kind of events, and you go to work and that's all them people want to talk about. That's all they know about. And so you look like the oddball if you don't know anything about it. But that's okay. I don't know anything about it. And that's fine. That's what God sent me to be. He sent me here for this. I may not be able to join in all them conversations. I may not be able to really talk up what they're talking about. But that's okay. I'm okay to be different because God called me to His Word. He's called me for a purpose and let me stand out. Let me be the oddball that Brother Branham's truly spoke about. I want to read this in light of what we're talking. This was in the Smyrnian Church Age, in the Church Age book. And I don't have a page number written down, but if you go to searching a few keywords, you'll find what he's saying here. But he says, the Lord God Almighty says, I know. There he is walking in the midst of his people, the chief shepherd of the flock. But does he hold back persecution? Does he stem the tribulation? No, he does not. He simply says, I know your tribulation. I'm not at all unmindful of your suffering. What a stumbling block that is to so many people. Like Israel, they wonder if God really loves them. How can God be just and loving if he stands by and watches his people suffer? That is what they all ask in Malachi 1:1-3. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, and wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau? And laid his mountain and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. You see, they could not figure out God's love. And they thought that that love meant no suffering. And then they thought that love meant a baby with parental care. But God said that his love was elective love. And the proof of his love is election. That no matter what happened, his love was proven truly by the fact that they were chosen unto salvation. Because God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He may commit you to death as he did Paul. He may commit you to suffering as he did Job. That is his prerogative. He is sovereign. But it is all with a purpose. And if he did not have a purpose, then he would be the author of frustration and not of peace. His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we would be made perfect and be established, strengthened, and settled. As Job said, he put strength in us. You see, in himself he suffered. And he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He was actually made perfect by the things that he suffered. Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. In plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. And according to Paul, he has left his church a measure of suffering, that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, would come to a place of perfection. Why did he want this? James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Why does he stand by? The reasons is Romans 8:7-18. And if children, then heirs of God, join heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. That's the reason that this character is simply never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. Amen. And I want you to, every day you're going to face trials. You're going to have situations that come along. There will be situations that come that will drive you to your knees in prayer. There will be situations that will drive you to where you just don't know where to turn. You don't know where to stand. There may be times that will drive you to just such a place. But you, through that, if you truly turn to God and his precious word in prayer and crying out, you watch when you come out of that, the character that's molded in you through that circumstance of life. It truly will bend you to his will. He will show you what true humility is. He will show you what it means to have love, long-suffering, and to truly be brotherly kindness and love one to another. Truly to be able to see through circumstances of life, maybe you got into something and someone had to forgive you, and they truly did by God's grace. It was in their heart to do so, and God leading the way, and then you'd be able to see through an example just what God can do for someone else and how that character has got to be so molded in us, how it should truly be that as we go through this world, you know, I think so often as we go through life and people are just such turmoil and so unhappy and mean anymore. They say things, they do things. The world's just went crazy. There's no love for the fellow man anymore. There's no respect for, oh, I wonder what happened to them. What are they going through? They don't care. Nobody cares. You could go into a hospital room anymore, into an emergency room, and truly have your head almost falling off your body and needing to see a doctor. And somebody could be there that just had a scratch on their finger and they would not give up their place for you. That's where we've got to in life. It's all about me. It's all about what I want and what I'm going to get, and I'm next in line and you just wait your turn. People have lost the true meaning of preferring one another, loving one another, being truly attending on one another's burdens and helping carry them. And what a place we could truly be in to not get caught up in the chaos and of this world and become like them. But may we truly be letting the scriptures and the word and the Holy Spirit mold us to the character that this Bible was. Yes, oh, may it truly burn in our hearts to see more of it. He says a man without character can't reign. A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary suffering we go through is not worthy to be compared with the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. And let me see here. Yeah, we'll just catch the rest of it. And he says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. It is strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering. No, sir. And we all have trials. We are all tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that the church that is not suffering, is not being tried, hasn't got it. It isn't of God. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. And this is a special condition in Smyrna, must be applied to every age. There is no age free from it. There is no true believer free from it. This is of God, and this is the will of God. It is needful. And we need the Lord to teach us the truth that we are to suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. Love suffereth long and is kind. Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. And sometimes people have that so turned around. They think as long as they're going through life and it's a bed of ease and everything's good and there's nothing happening in my world, that's God's approval to them. But Satan will bless you. He'll provide all you need and help be there to just make it like it's nothing if he can just keep you at doing one thing contrary to God's precious word. Oh, look what he did to Job, because he knew where Job stood and he desired to have him. He desired, but look at the confidence God had in Job. Amen. And may that be the same confidence he can have in you and I, that it don't matter what we're going to have to suffer. It don't matter what we may go through down here, what we have to lose or give up. But we would be tried and proven to hold true to God's precious word. You know, and more as it goes on, you can see where it just costs you more and more fellowship sometimes. It causes people to just not really get where you're coming from when you take a stand for God's precious word. They don't understand why you feel that way. Well, I don't have to be that way. I don't think it has to be like that. But oh, God's word is cut and dried. And oftentimes, you know, it's like taking medication over if you went to the doctor and got a prescription. And they measure it out and they tell you exactly how much to take. And in the natural, we're very cautious to make sure we don't take more than that man wrote on that bottle. But oh, if we could only look at God's word in the same light and realize that the instructions for this to work has been laid out here 100% in God's precious word. And if we were that careful to make sure that those instructions were applied to our life, what a different result we would get many times. But we don't want to consult the instructions that's been given to us. We just want to go on over what we've heard. And you know, oftentimes, we've been in this message a long time. People come out, they were on fire. God was dealing and working, and now we're getting down farther down the line. And how it is, you can see this one generation, they've raised their children in the message to believe a certain way, to do a certain thing, and it just keeps bleeding. It gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse because they're erring and going farther and farther and farther away from the instructions that was laid down to us. But God is calling a people back to look. Focus your attention to the purpose for which you've been sent. And this message that was given for the reason to bring that bride to perfection. Amen. That she would be ready in the moment of a twinkling of an eye to be caught away. And oh, may we be part of that number.
Yes.
He says his approval, neither do bright skies and still water signs of his love and approval. His approval of any of us is only in the beloved. His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Oh, yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because he said so and manifested that he did love us. For he brought us to himself and gave us of his spirit, placing us as sons. And how shall I approve my love to him? By believing what he said and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that he and his wisdom allows to come to pass. Oh, may we truly think more and more as we go through this, as our pastor continues on, may you truly take stock in your everyday actions, your everyday responses, and truly let God's measure up against God's word, each and every one of us greater. It may be easy to look and see somebody that's got a whole lot going on, but one word short, it doesn't matter how much else you've done. One word lacking in your life, and you're no better than somebody that left out the whole book. And by God's grace, may we focus ourselves to look at our own lives and what's lacking in me, Lord, in myself. And now, if we would focus our attention more so to, Lord, what am I missing? I believe you, Lord. I believe the word. But Lord, what is unlike you in my life? What portion of my life needs to be shaved and honed, Lord, to match your image? More each day. But oh my, let me see here. This is also in the Church Age book. This was in the Ephesian Church Age. And just think about these things and measure yourself up in the age in which we're living. But he says here, this was in chapter 3. And he begins here, says, Revelations 2 and 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. To understand this, you must realize that the Spirit is not speaking to the original saints of Ephesus alone. This message is into the entire age, which lasted about 120 years, its message, and then to all the generations in that span. And history keeps repeating itself. In the generations of Israel, we see revival in one generation only to see the fires fading in the next, and in the third generation, embers may be glowing slightly. But in the fourth, there may be no vestige whatsoever of that original flame. And then God lights the fire again, and the same process is repeated. It's simple. It's simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. Salvation is not passed on by natural birth, and any more than there is any truth to the apostolic succession. It isn't in the word. You start out with truly born again believers, and when the next generation comes along, they are no longer just plain Christians, but they have taken a denominational name and are now Baptists, Methodists, etc. That is exactly what they are too, and they are not Christians. And you have to be born of the will of God, not of the will of man, to be saved. But these folks are all coming together now by the will of man. And I don't say that some of them aren't right with God. Not for a minute do I say that. But the original fire has died down. They are not the same anymore. The fervent desire to please God, the passion to know his word, and the cry for reaching out in the spirit all begins to fade. And instead of that church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and become a bit formal. And many have read this scripture, this quote today, and they've went back to, it's all in the works. It's all in the jumping and the shouting and the screaming. Running around the church, they've went back to that fervent desire to them is just showing forth emotion. But he's not talking about that church just showing emotion. But he's looking for, you know, as you see it more and more, as the word is truly taken over a people's hearts, here, wherever they may be all over this earth, back to the word, that their life would be so Christ-like. Their actions, that they would draw people to them. To themselves, no. But it's Christ in them pushing himself out. And through that, you watch the atmosphere that it creates around those people that have that living through them. People don't know what it is. They may not understand what you've got, but you watch it draw the attention of others and pull them to you. He says that they're not... Let me jot down. It begins to fade, and instead of the church being on fire with God, it's cooled off and become a bit formal. And that's what was happening back there to the Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal. The abandonment of God was dying out, and people weren't too careful about what God thought about them as they began to be careful about what the world thought of them. And that's where we've got to think about it. He says the world thought of them. The second generation coming on was just like Israel. They demanded a king to be like other nations. And when they did that, they rejected God, but they did it anyway. That is the history of the church. When it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God, it isn't long until you see them stop doing the things they used to do and start doing things they wouldn't do initially. They change their manner of dress, their attitudes, and their behavior, and they get lax. That is what Ephesus means, relaxed and drifting. That cycle of revival and death has never failed. And all you have to do is recall the last move of God in the Spirit when men and women dressed like Christians went to church, prayed all night, and took to the streets corner and weren't ashamed of the manifestations of the Spirit. They left their old dead churches and worshiped in homes and old store buildings. They had reality. But it wasn't too long a time until they began to get enough money to build fine new churches, and they put in a choir instead of singing unto God for themselves. They put gowns on the choir, and they organized a movement and ran it by man. They soon began to read books that weren't fit to read, and they let down the bars, and the goats came in and took over, and the cry of joy was gone, and the freedom of the Spirit was gone. But oh, they kept on with the form, but that fire had died down, and the blackness of ashes is about all that's left. And that's where we are today, saints. The fires have died down. The true love for the things of God is gone. It's been replaced by the love of football, the love of racing, the love of fighting, all boxing, whatever you want to call it. Any of these games that are being played out here today, all over the land, everything is soul driven by the spirit of the devil. Seeing those two spirits at work and in the framework of the church, look at, there's only two spirits behind everything that's taking place, and you can weigh it in your hands and see which one's getting the glory from what's taking place. And oh, what a people we ought to be to set and weigh our what we're doing and to truly see. You know, I had the opportunity to meet someone that is they belong to a tape church. Oh, wonderful to talk about the things Brother Branham's done. Brag on the word, and I appreciate and respect his life and what he's doing. And then no disrespect to this brother. But he's missing what God has laid out. It's not just good enough to, as our pastor said this morning, to believe because it's written. But it's got to be a life lived. That through you, everyone can see that Jesus Christ is on display. Your children even have to see that Jesus Christ is on controlling you. They've got to see that overcoming in your life for you personally. And that's what's happened. So many people, they want their kids to believe this message. They want them to follow this message. Believe this. This is where it's at. But they've never taken the time to sit down and say, here's why we're doing what we do. This is why we believe what we believe. These are the truths that God has delivered. And it's not a church. It's not a way of life. But this is Jesus Christ speaking to his called out people. Showing forth the realization that the reason God sent a prophet was to bring a people back to a place to get them ready for a rapture that's going to take place. But it's become to a point, it's just let's rehearse the message. Let's know what he said. Let's know what he did. And oh, we've missed the mark so great. But when we can come back to that place that our lives have to be representation of Jesus Christ made manifest today. Sitting in your life and my life, manifesting forth in everything we do, in every circumstance. And my cry in my heart is, Lord, take me over greater, for Forgive me for my slothfulness, and Lord, let me reach that height in you that you predestinated me to get to. And don't let me be slothful in getting there, Lord, but let it be a fervent desire in my heart burning to, Lord, to press that mark greater than I ever have before to your glory and to your honor, Lord, that this marvelous light that you called me to walk in, Lord, may I give it my all. And I pray that's what's burning in your hearts greater as each day goes by. It's wonderful we gather here. It's wonderful we're blessed with a wonderful pastor. It's wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit is here amongst us. But if it doesn't bring results in our lives as individuals, we're wasting our time. It's got to be an individual affair. You're not going in on no one's shirt tail. This church isn't going in because we got a name on a rock. It ain't going to matter. It's going to matter what Jesus Christ will do through your life personally. And the only way it'll get there is if you got a hunger and a cry in your heart to be one of them that's going to make the goal and truly be surrendered to Jesus Christ. Amen. We've come too far to look back. And we've seen too much playing going on all over this message. We've seen too many people come and go. Too many things have lost. And you see so many times people want to lay the blame to this and lay the blame to that. And I'm like this because that happened. But God didn't call us. He brought us to where we are. Everything that's ever happened in your life was a stepping stone for a reason. And if you'll turn your attention and your attitude to look at it in that manner, you watch what God can build from those things that you've traveled through. He will lead and guide you. Amen. Amen. Let me see here. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. I think I kind of got my notes jumbled up a little bit here. This is in the Laodicean church age. Just to keep these things on our hearts as we... He says, now if all the things that the Spirit is crying out against are true of this age, we need someone to come on the scene as did John the Baptist and challenge the church as never before. And that is what exactly is coming to our age. Another John the Baptist is coming, and he will cry out exactly as he did the first runner. We know that he will because of what the next verse says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Revelation 3:19. This is the same message that John had as he cried out in the religious wilderness of the Pharisees and Sadducees and heathens. Repent. There was no other course then. There's no other course now. There's no other way to get back to God then. And there's no other way now. It is to repent, to change your mind and turn around. Repent for why you will die. Let us examine the phrase, as many as I love. And the Greek emphasis is upon the personal pronoun I. He does not say, as many would feel he should say, as many as love me. No, sir. We must never try to make Jesus the object of human love in this verse. No, it is that many that are loved ones of God. It is his love in question, not ours. So once again, we find ourselves glorying in his salvation, his purpose, and his plan. And we are confirmed even more strongly in the truth of the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Even as he says in Romans 9:13, Jacob have I loved, does it now obtain that since he loved only the many, he is therefore in the state of complacency, awaiting the love of those who have not drawn nigh him? By no means is this so. For he declared also in Romans 9:13, Esau have I hated. And in verse 11, the Spirit boldly calls out for the children not being born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. This love is elective love. It is his love for his elect and his love for them in part from the human merit, for it says that the purpose of God stands in election, which is exactly opposite to works or anything man has in himself. Because before the children were born, he had already said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Now he says to his own, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. To rebuke is to reprove. And to reprove is to expose with a view to correction. Chasten does not mean to punish. It means to discipline because the subject's amendment is in mind. Think about it. Every time the Holy Spirit brings something to your attention And you may see it as a correction to you. Lord, I see he's only doing it for your good, to your amendment, to discipline, because the subject commandment is in mind. This is exactly what we find in Hebrews 12:5-11. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what is a son? As whom the father... Let me back up. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much the rather in subjection unto the Father of spirits live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Praise God, I've been a recipient of that verse. Amen. And I pray each one of you can say the same. Herein is now set forth the love of God. He desired in love a family of his own, a family of sons, sons like himself. And there before him lies all mankind as one lump of clay. And out of the same lump he will now make vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. The choosing will be his own choosing. Then those chosen ones born of his spirit will be trained to be conformed to his image in their walk. He reproves with all longsuffering and gentleness and mercy. He chastens with nail-scarred hands. And sometimes this potter must take the vessel he is working on and thoroughly break it down in order that he may rebuild it exactly as he desires to. But it is love. That is his love. Another way of his love there is not, and there cannot be. O little flock, do not fear. This age is fast closing. And as it does, those tares will be bound together as a threefold cord is not easily broken. They will have a tremendous threefold strength of political, physical, and spiritual, and satanical power. And they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. She will suffer, but she will endure. Fear not those things that are coming upon the earth, for he said, who loveth his own, he loveth them unto the end. John 13:1. And all his love is never ending. And as we go through each and every day, and we come in and gather underneath the presence of the Holy Spirit in each service, the Holy Spirit is speaking to his own. And it may come and it may seem, you might sit there and say, I don't get it. Well, that's probably because it wasn't for you. But God's talking to his own in each and every service. God is watching after his elect. And he's watching over that little seed to make sure she has exactly what she has need of. And all the churches have filled up with people that just want to be churchgoers and people that just want to attach themselves to this message, but they're not interested in a fervent desire. They're not interested in a true walk with Jesus Christ that means death to themselves. As our brother read the scripture, I die daily, dying out to ourselves and giving ourselves over to Jesus Christ that he might have the full preeminence. But oh, how often we let people, things we've come in contact with, and things other people do, steal the importance from us of what God said. And how you see it more and more in people's lives is, why do this thing? I know Brother Branham said that, but this so-and-so said it could be like this. So-and-so said I could do it like that. What did God say? Because this is what's going to judge that little bride one day real soon. And by God's grace, I don't want to be found wondering if what Brother so-and-so said is going to hold me. But I want to know that my life is hid in the pages of that precious word. And that the very character that was expressed here, I see it being expressed through me. And I know that by that, that precious blood was spilt and is covering me. And all to know that I'm in his care. Amen. Oh, may we truly yield ourselves greater unto him. And may it truly put something, may our hearts be on fire for God, to be the people that's not just a talker about this word. I'm not just another following a church. I'm not following somebody else in my family, but I'm standing for Jesus Christ on my own. God is speaking to my heart. God is calling me to this place. And may we truly, I want my wife to do exactly what God wants. I want my children to all do it, but I cannot lag behind because they don't want to. Or they can't lag if I decide not to. It's an individual affair. But oh, may we cry out for each other, pray for one another, uphold one another in prayer, that Lord, we would be a people together that would reach the goal that you've sent us for. Amen. I praise you can take something from God's precious word this evening. May it be of an encouragement and strength, and may it raise us up and cause us to press just a little bit more, and to maybe pay just a little bit more attention when the word's coming forth. You say, well, it's just Brother Steve. It's not Brother Steve. Don't ever do that. Don't never put a man here. It's the same with Brother Branham. Brother Branham was sent for a purpose, but it was God speaking to his people through that man's lips. And they often fail to realize that God was speaking. And you know, when Brother Branham, you know, people lived with him a long time. And when God first began to deal with his heart, and we see it in the messages, in 63, when the dispensations changed, we see the word and the things he had to straighten up and correct in the word itself. Things he thought about, but God revealed it was different. And sometimes people forget to distinguish that maybe things Brother Branham said in person, or maybe expressed through a word of just a conversation, that God might have revealed something to him after the fact that would have changed what he said then. And if he did, you'll find it right here. The answer for that little bride is laying in the word that we have. And it'll run right back into those scriptures, and they won't break continuity. And oh, I'm not putting my... it's wonderful to hear the testimonies and all this taking place and the people that was able to walk with the prophet and the things they heard and seen. It's wonderful. But God called us not to remember just the things that the prophet did, but he called us to obey the word that he spoke through that prophet. And may we truly be a people that keeps our focus on that and that alone. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that little chorus, "To Be Like Jesus." Amen. It's just a little chorus. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him all through life's journey from earth to glory. I to be like him, sing it again, amen. Be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth alone, to
desire to have, isn't it? To be like Jesus. Did you get something from something said tonight? I did. Amen. Amen to the Word of God. The truth that continues to unveil and just become more real in your hearts. Amen. And you know, I was thinking about, because he mentioned many a times about raising children, you know, in different places he was speaking about it. But I've always thought about the part, and thing I always thought of when I was raising my children. Raise a child in the way that she'll go. Isn't that what it says? Absolutely. So what do you do? By faith. By revelation. When you're raising that child in the way it should go, You are looking for its future. What is this child? What do I want this child to be in the future? And when you look at it that way, it's so much easier to make the right decisions on what you train the child to do. But oftentimes people overlook that portion of the word. Raise the child in the way it should go. But the only way to do that is to look for its future. You look to what that child has to be when it grows up. You want to be honest. You want to live by the word of God. So what do? You train it ways, give it ways, show it ways, give it understanding in ways, preparing it for the life of Christ. You see, that Jesus Christ would live. If it's a young lady, you're preparing that child to be a good mother, to clean its home. Yeah, you don't just let it back and be a slob, get everything dirty and just leave things dirty. You raise that young girl to be a homemaker, because that's scripture, isn't it? That's what a child, a young lady, is supposed to be, a homemaker. So you raise that child, start this little, and teach it how to come to that. Same way with a young boy. You teach it how to work. Yeah. I've never seen like so many people today, they don't want their little boys to do anything. They don't want them to work. I don't want my child to go through that. Train that child when it's little to work. So when it grows up, it'll be a worker. It won't be lazy, you know? So as I say, when you're raising that child in the way it should go, you're looking at its future, or it should be. And it's so simple. But so many parents have failed to do that. But as parents continue to come up, and these young ones here, as they get married and they begin to have children, that's the goal you look for, you see. And that's what pleases God, because it's the word of God. You know, it's so good to have understanding. So good to know the truth. Again, because the truth sets you free. It sets you at liberty to walk in the Spirit and walk in the ways of a righteous man should walk. Amen. So we're thankful to be here tonight. Thankful for the word, aren't you? Amen. Let us all bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful that You have given this day to us. Lord, it's been a beautiful day, even in the weather and on the outside. But above everything, Lord, it's been a beautiful day in our hearts to be able to gather with saints of like precious faith, and Lord, that have the same goal, the same desire, the same longing in their hearts, that one day, Lord, to be able to lay this life down, whether it be through the way of come to years of age or whatever it may be, or to go in a rapture. One day, Lord, we will lay this life down. The immortal will become immortal. And we long to see that, Lord. It's a burning desire within our hearts. Our desires is not to have our hearts and affections centered on things of the earth, of this world, but on things above. The things on the eternal things, Lord. And Lord, we appreciate that you've given us that desire today. We ask now again that you just watch over us and keep us safe, Lord, and bring us back the next appointed time. And Father, as we see a Thanksgiving approaching, may we be a real thankful people. A people that are so thankful for the many blessings that you've given. Thankful, Lord, that you've given us a desire to serve you, to love you and to obey you. May we be thankful for our family and, Lord, the many blessings in life that you have given us. Be thankful for our food that you bless us with. When there's so many thousands and millions of people around the earth that do not have things to eat, Lord, and they're looking and hoping for the next meal. Maybe they haven't ate for days because they haven't had anything. But Lord, you've blessed us abundantly. But Father, through all these blessings, may we give our life back to you in full surrenderance, that we can be that people that you can express yourself through. Thank you for this day now. May thy will be done now in the remainder of our lives and the remainder of this week in our lives, that you'd have the complete preeminence and give us revelation of the Word of God, and we'd continue to press on. That we'd be that people, as Paul spoke of, we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We ask now that you'd help us to do so. Thank you for your mercy and grace. In the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I love him. Oh, I love him. Don't you love him? He's so precious. You know, again, how could you love somebody if you don't know him? But by his grace, he's revealed himself to us and revealed to us what he's done for us. So how we should love him. Amen. And adore him every moment of our life. When you go through the day, just worship him. Sing to him. Amen. Praise him. Give him glory and honor because he's everything. Amen. May God's blessings go with you now. And we will not have service Thursday nights. You can spend time with your families and just appreciate each other. Because next week you may not have them. Be thankful for your mother, because one day you won't have them. Be thankful for daddy, because one day you'll not have them. Because life is like a vapor, and it moves on so fast. And before you know it, life's over on this earth. Enjoy your children. Love your daughter. Love your son. Love grandpa. Love grandma. Be thankful for them. It's God's blessings to you. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.